First off, I would like to say congratulations to Mark. 40 years ago, if you had told me I'd be standing here speaking at your ordination, I'd be doing the same, laughing.
It's
a believe miracle. Me, Mark, it is an honor. It's a privilege to be here today. And for you to even ask me to be a part of this. And our prayer, I believe for you, Mark, is from all of us that the Lord will keep you in perfect peace as you serve Him through your ministry to the youth here at Christ Church. And that He fill you with the wisdom and the knowledge to lead the youth to greater heights in their spiritual walk with Christ. When Mark asked me about 2 weeks ago if I would say something or speak about him, I thought, man, Mark, where do you want me to begin? I know you for over 40-some years. And there's so much stuff to say about you. So, after a lot of prayer, the Lord reminded me of something Reverend Sonny said on our Christmas Eve service. It was about the last piece of puzzle in your life. And then it was made clear to me by the Lord that the only place to begin is in the beginning. As I said, I know Mark for over 40 years. And as I can clearly see now, as I look back over his past, how the Lord has been leading him to this point in his life. You were born into a Christian family where you were taught right from wrong, and you were nurtured in the Christian faith. As an infant, you were brought up to church regularly. You were baptized and confirmed. And after confirmation, you made the choice that all of us have to do, whether to reaffirm our baptism and confirmation, and you made the right choice. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were involved in a youth group in the teenage years. I remember you being in a lot of plays here at Christ Church as your dad, the Reverend Dale Shellhammer, had many plays at Christmas time. And as you continued on your journey in life, then the Lord placed one of your greatest assets in your life and in your ministry, Jane. Now together, when you married, you were made one. And you're made one now in the ministry. And never forget, but perhaps I didn't remind my wife enough of times of how much she means to you and your ministry. Lean on her for your strength, because you are now one in the ministry. Together you raised 3 children. You instilled the same Christian values that you were taught, and you can be very proud of each one of them. And the Lord wasn't finished with you yet, Mark. I know you're back to me, but I am speaking to you. Yeah, I guess I'm pretty hiding you much. He didn't place you here, right here, where He wanted you, at Christ Church. And He gave you a wonderful mentor, Reverend Pastor Sonny, to mentor you. But you answered that call very well. Both of you later became involved with the Walk to Emmaus, where you both still serve and mentor to teach the youth from all over the county. I know I missed a lot, but as Elder John had spoke so much of you before in the beginning. So Mark, I don't think any of us can say that we are ever fully ready to serve the Lord, because it's the Lord who prepares us to serve Him. His hand was in it from the very beginning, preparing you for this service throughout the years of your life, Mark. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for a future." And now, Mark, here we are. His plans for you are being fulfilled here today, as you're sitting here waiting to be ordained into the Christian ministry that He has prepared you for. Believe me, I know your grandmother Stella, your grandfather John, the Reverend John Gooley. And Mom, your dad, I'm very, very proud of you, as well as all of us, your church family and all your other friends, and I'm sure Pastor Sonny as well. As you celebrate this special day, Mark, let us all take this opportunity to thank God for how He has led you here, and thank Him for opening the door of service to you and for Jane, and for making it possible for us to serve, for you to serve the many youth that He puts in, you in contact with. And as you look back from where the journey began, Mark, in your Christian home family, may our Lord give you new perspectives so that you can creatively deliver what He called you to do. Let God guide you and help you to love to greater heights. Once again, Mark, I say, congratulations. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 8, verses 6 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Observe the commandments of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commandments, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold settle down, and when your herds settle increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power, my strength, and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and to confirm His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
I'll show you what youth pastors do. Brother Dave Coriel in the front row, that is how we met. Brother Dave, do you remember those classes?
Oh, yeah.
They were wild, they were wacky, they were fun. But I tell you what, we gained so much wisdom and knowledge from that guy that we wouldn't be where we are at today. So we give kudos to Dr. Coriel. You'll notice something. I can't button my top button on my suit, but Dr. Coriel walked with me, literally walked with me, as he was my mentor for many years as I was in youth ministry. I graduated in 2013. That's impossible. 2013, I graduated from Evangelical Theological Seminary, and people like you, part of the congregation, said to me, so when are you going to become a senior pastor? And I looked at him like, why would I want to become a senior pastor? I'm loving youth ministry. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I'm a half an hour away from you guys in a little town called Bethel, PA, serving at Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. Prior to that, I had met Mark at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, and for individuals to be able to go to creation and endure 120 degree weather and rain, you know we love youth. Not to mention the countless other acts that youth tend to get involved with as we participate with them and love upon them. But two things for certain I can tell you about Mark is he loves his Lord fiercely. And he loves his church family even more fiercely. And so you're all in very good hands as you ordain Mark into the ministry. And you can be assured that he cares deeply for you. He wants to know each of you even greater. And he wants to support you. And especially to the youth, you've got an incredible guy. And keep a hold of him. Don't let the older people tell him, when are you going to become a senior pastor? Because I realize the most important position in the church is the youth pastor. That's coming from someone who doesn't have a youth pastor, and I try to fill all those shoes, and it doesn't always work that well. So thank you, Mark, for letting me be here today and being a part of this incredible service. It's an honor and a pleasure. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy 1:12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I once was a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed, Brother Mark.
All right, there were threats if I went over 3 minutes, so I better get right at it. I do have to say that, thanks for the intro. That was awesome. I don't even have to say who I am, so that was really cool. Good to see you, brother. But I have to say, solid work choosing this on Jane's birthday.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure I could have pulled that off personally, but that's awesome. I mean, if that doesn't say something about their relationship, then, you know, who knows? But anyway, hey, so blessed to be here. A week ago, I was supposed to be in the Grand Cayman, and not for personal stuff, training pastors, I know, suffering for Jesus in the Grand Cayman. But that got pulled off the table. Blessed to be here. So blessed to be here. Mark, along with many others over the years, have had the opportunity to have his students at Evangelical Seminary. I also do some teaching at Lancaster Bible College. Though that's not my primary role, I've been blessed to do that as an adjunct professor. And by God's grace, just amazing people that I've had the opportunity to just come alongside and see them just develop. Now, Mark, since I had you as a student, things have kind of gone crazy in my own life. And I've had the chance to train a bunch of people in a whole bunch of different places that we won't get into. But I have to say, one of the things that sets you apart is that you are just a humble man of God. And as much as you have all these other incredible qualities, one of the things that just cries out of your nature is how humble you are, how much you want to learn, you want to grow, you want to chase after God with your life. And that is so awesome, because to be ordained does not mean to be set above anyone else. I mean, we all have some calling by God to carry out wherever it is that he planted us. And we want to run after God in that place. But there is something that is special about this day and this calling that you have in your life, and that is to be set apart. Not set above, but set apart. Now, that's not just set apart so everybody else takes 2 steps back and people can chuck stuff at you easier. All right? But you're set apart for an incredible thing that God has for you to do. Now, yeah, you've been carrying that out, but there's a moment now that it's going to a whole new level. And that is just so awesome. But that doesn't happen without humility. That is the characteristic that is so critical for anyone taking this step. And I just praise God for how you live that out in your life. And so I'm going to draw things to a close for the threats of the floor opening up as Pastor Sonny hits a button and I'm out of here. But I love you. I'm so thankful to the Lord for what He's done in your life and the many lives He has touched because of what He's doing in you and through you. God's blessings, brother.
I've been known to speak too long, so that's why I have it written down.
Been there.
Just two preliminary thoughts is that one, in the month of May, Mark and Jane shared with me my 40th year of ministry and retirement. And now, thankfully, I'm here through God's grace. And thank you for the invitation to share with you and Jane and Sonny and the church on this special day for you all. As Dave, when Mark contacted me, he said, "You got 3 minutes." How do you sum up somebody's readiness for ministry in 3 minutes? Well, hopefully like you, I believe in the God of miracles. So Mark Schellhammer, I have known you for about 15 wonderful years. I've heard you speak of your godly family, your dad, as we've just heard, being a pastor. I've noted from Facebook and, well, the mountaintop flights, your hours and energy, especially with the kids, and through tag. I've seen you in your casual and comfortable way minister to adults on the Emmaus Walk. And with great joy, I have observed your love for your beloved Jane and Tyler and Jenna. So Mark, you have, through the years, demonstrated great gifts intellectually, pastorally, theologically, and if you want, throw in a good sense of humor, too. You and Jane have already left your mark on this church. And the folks here are better for it. And working with Sonny? I'm not looking at her. The divine dynamic duo. It can't get any better. You've learned to do some pastoral care through texting. You've learned how to not to be bored during church meetings. And probably, unlike me, you probably snooze through a few of them. You've learned and are still learning what it feels like to pastor brokenhearted people. Because as clergy, we can relate. You have learned how to learn. You have learned how beautiful and maddening the people of God can be. You also, if you remember and will, you've got some through many talks and sermons. Through the years as well, you've received diplomas and certificates and degrees, and you've jumped through several church hoops to come to this day because you've met the requirements of ordination. So are you really ready for ordination? I truly believe you are. So as you begin this new phase of ministry, just a few concluding thoughts. And that is, first of all, remember that you are a sinner saved by grace. And that continue in the love of the Lord. Out of love, stuff the ears of your people with gospel preaching. And the important thing is, preach the Jesus of Scriptures. Also, stuff their mouths with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation from the Lord's table so that you all can continue to believe in Jesus Christ, continue to live and love and proclaim that God and Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Also, as the Apostle Paul said, whatever happens, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And remember as well that you have the one and only God that it takes to make you the pastor He called you to be. And you also all have the one and only true God that makes you the pastor these folks need you to be. God's in your corner. So again, are you ready? Well then set your mind on heavenly things and go and make disciples for God's kingdom. And may God bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He lift His countenance up and grant you favor and grant you peace, not only on this your ordination day, but also forevermore. Now, if this wasn't 3 minutes, I also believe in the God of forgiveness and mercy. Oh, the other thing, that's the first time I've seen him in this garb. He cleans up pretty good.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to have a much different relationship with Mark than the other pastors in the room this morning, because they started the youth group 14 years ago, and at that point, I was only 13 years old. So they talk about all that Mark's done for the youth and the students that he's worked with over these past 14 years. And for 5 years, I was one of them. And we had an absolute blast for those 5 years, and we're still having a blast now, each and every trip, each and every youth group that we share together. Mark took a youth group that really didn't know what exactly was going to happen, and he turned it into a place that is absolutely devoted to leading kids to know Christ and to serve Him each and every day of their lives. And Mark's had many, many students over the years, but when he made the crazy decision to let me be a youth leader in 2011, things never were the same after that, for me, and I'm sure for many other people as well. Mark's mentored me over those 8 or so years. He's helped me, he's pushed me, he's supported me through my trip into ministry as well. We've gone on countless trips together, mission trips, gone to festivals. We've taught huge piles of kids, and hopefully some of you can get over to the youth building and see all the handprints on the wall of all the kids that have been impacted by Mark's ministry over the years. Mark and I have seen each other at our best. We've pushed each other when things weren't going the way we'd hoped. And perhaps most importantly, we've seen each other at our worst, and yet we're still going at it strong, seeking to love God and serve Him each and every day. And there was points in both of our lives when we never would have thought we'd have entered ministry. But God decided not only that we would be ministers, but that we would do it together. And because we've done it together for so long, I've been able to see Mark's absolute devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that he recognizes that he has been truly entrusted with a special task, unlike anything most people will ever know, to show Christ to kids from our area. And they are able to see that he loves Christ and that he loves them in everything that he does and says. And so these many years have given me more than enough proof to know that Mark is absolutely ready and has already been ministering in a way that is expected of someone who is ordained. He centers every part of his life on loving the kids and showing them the same love that he first received from God. And we thank him for it each and every day.
I follow all those ministers. I don't know.
But I'm going to try. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Mark and Jane informed me I had to speak today. We went back and forth. No, I can't do it. Yes, you can. No, I can't. And so forth. I guess I finally gave in. They also informed me I had to speak no more than 3 minutes. I Googled this, and 57 years is the number 299592000. So I called Talia, and I asked Talia, how do you say that? She said 29,959,200 minutes. Now, how do you suppose I'm supposed to put 3 minutes of 57 years in 3 minutes? Maybe I can do it in 5. God sends opportunities where fear grips the backs of our throats and sets our hearts pounding, like now. He wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, do you trust me? Because together we can do this. So here we go. If I was Pastor Sonny, I would sing. Nancy, did you know that your baby boy would someday become an ordained minister? Mark was born at Lancaster General Hospital, October 5th, 1962. A beautiful blonde baby boy. And yes, he had hair. I didn't allow for laughter in these 5 minutes. As a toddler, he could tell you all the words to a story. At 4 or 5, he would tell us a story he made up and never hesitated, never said one and or one ah. Mark, Lori, and Lisa sang for different functions at Epiphany Church in Leesport. Then they got shy and only sang in the car. He was a very sweet child until age of 14 or 15. Always went to Sunday school and helped at Bible school. As a teen, he attended youth group. Then he hit 15, and boy, rebellion set in. Needless to say, what I did not know did not hurt me. We always prayed he would come home safe. He had numerous jobs at Libby's, Long John Silver's, did chores for Mr. Rowland. Charlie Bailey and Mark often went to visit Mrs. Reed. Mark said, I just helped Charlie and kept Mrs. Reed company. He was very intelligent. But needless to say, he did not always apply himself. Got through high school and went to Penn State, Du Bois. Dean's list first year, second year, not so much. Did graduate and got an associate degree in wildlife technology. Since he was only 19, he could not get a job in his field. So he went to work at Cuck's Tree Farm. In 1984, Jane came into the picture. She was always in the picture long before that. She spent a lot of time at our house with the girls. Mark tolerated her. Love blossomed, and they were married in 1986. Tyler was born in 1992. At this time, Mark was working at Argo for his insurance, since he was now a family man. Then Argo closed their doors, and Mark was given a great opportunity to go back to college. This time around, he got a 4.0 average. This truly was a blessing. He had several jobs before he became established at Vanguard. Jenna was born January 30, 2005, and has been a bright light in our lives ever since. Again, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Jane told me I plagiarized this next part from Mark's ordination invitation. Do I care? No. Over 13 years ago, Mark and his brother-in-law, John Fish, and Alan Mons, and several others recognized the need for a youth ministry at Christ Church. At this time, the goal was to give youth some fond memories of church so that when they grew up, they might remember those good times and come back. They had no idea it would become the life-changing ministry that it is today. First Youth Night was held on July 13, 2006. They met in the old sanctuary. Soon after this, he started his studies at Myerstown Seminary. Mark says, these 13 years in youth ministry have had some of the most trying and difficult times in my life. They have also held some of the most inspirational and uplifting times. God has been working in the ministry, teens, leaders, and Mark. Mark stated, I am humbled to continue to serve Christ and his people in this new capacity. Today my son is being formally ordained, and I am more than proud. I know Dale is present today and smiling and saying, well done, my son. Was that over 3 minutes?
Do I care?
No.
Well, I don't know where my scripture went. Nancy, I think you took my scripture with you. Seriously, Nancy, you've got it.
Is that it? Is that all?
That's it.
It would have been a lot shorter than we thought.
Hear these words from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You know, years ago, Mark and I wrote an advertisement for a youth pastor at another church. And I just came across this, and this is what the advertisement said. The individual should be a born-again evangelical Christian with a living and solid faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The individual should be a motivated self-starter who hears from God, has a heart for youth, and has a vision for reaching beyond the walls of the church building. Now that I have worked side by side with Mark for 14 years, I have come to realize that in our attempt to advertise for another youth pastor all those years ago, we had described Mark himself. When I first came to Christ Church in 2006, Mark and his brother-in-law got a hold of me in the narthex and they said, we've just started this youth group. We heard you really like youth groups. Are you going to get behind us? And I thought to myself that I had to have a high level of decorum, but I wanted to dance because I thought, what a blessing. Coming into a new church with willing servants, it doesn't get better than that. Can I get an amen? Amen. As I discovered the legacy of Mark's family in this church, which, by the way, is why we are wearing collars. We're not usually a collar church, but in honor of Reverend Shellhammer and Reverend Gulick, we wore our collars today. Well, I asked him, I said, did you ever consider going into the formal ministry? It was as if I threw ice water in his face. Absolutely not, was his vehement reply. He told me he had had enough of the ministry watching his grandfather and more recently his father, and it was enough to make him run the other way. Now, I don't know if I said this out loud at the time, or if it only went through my mind, but I'm pretty confident I said it. We'll see. We'll see. The chairman of a church consistory received the following chain letter in the mail. This chain letter is meant to bring you happiness. Simply sit down and make a list of 5 other churches that are tired of their youth pastors. Send a copy of this letter to all 5 churches on the list, and then send your youth pastor to the church on the bottom of the list. And in 1 week, you will receive 15,625 youth pastors. And one of them should work out for you. P.S. Don't break the chain. One church did and got their old youth pastor back. It is not easy being a youth pastor. The drama of youth in the world in which we live, their pain associated with navigating a difficult world, coupled with the drama of parents, and even the older saints in the church who have forgotten about the messiness of youth. It's not an easy road to walk. Our scripture lesson that I read today from 2 Timothy is also a chain letter, and it was written by Paul when he was in chains. Paul's chain letter was written to a young man named Timothy, but could be considered ministering 101. And I'd like to draw some pertinent truth from this epistle as we celebrate what God has done, not only in Pastor Mark's life, but in the life of Christ Church. And we're going to go with a simple who, what, when, where, why, and how. And in order to make sure that I am not sent to the church on the bottom of that list, I am going to also keep my comments very brief. Really, I promise. But I will go longer than 3 minutes. You can feel free to follow along, if you'd like to, in your pew Bible. Okay, remember who. A pastor must not just think of his people and how to please them. He must remember who it is that he is really serving. If we displease God, it doesn't matter who we please. And if we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. In 2 Timothy 4:1, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." Charge means forceful directive. This is a solemn charge because God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son are the real audience that we're worried about. Now, Jonathan Edwards, who is my hero, by the way, said that he always endeavored to preach and act as if he had already seen the happiness of heaven and the horrors of hell. So, Pastor Mark, you are laboring in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, before whom every heart is exposed and before whom ultimately you will have to give an account. Now, even though things are not always easy, there is a great sense of beauty in ministry because all of heaven is watching, but all of heaven is helping as well, which is a good thing. Because after today, all age barriers have been removed from your ministry. We would do well to apply these words of Martin Luther. I preach as though Christ was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming back tomorrow. Pastor Mark, you are a gifted communicator. Simply put, as an ordained minister, you are called to preach the word, as it says in verse 2. This is not a suggestion. It's an active command because it's God's word that changes lives. Don't ever turn from it. Don't ever water it down. and don't ever be embarrassed by it. Preach and teach as if the eternal destiny of everyone you speak to, both youth and adults, hangs on your words, because it does. The word preach means to announce and proclaim and set forth and make known. Don't ever stop doing that. No matter what your ministry position is or will be, you are called to preach the word. Now, I understand that it is written that when Lyndon Johnson was elected president, I looked this up, he asked his good friend Billy Graham to take a position in his administration. And this is what Billy Graham is quoted as saying. Sir, I believe that Jesus Christ has called me to preach his gospel. That is the highest calling that any man could ever have on earth. Now, remember where. The next charge is to be prepared. And that literally means to be instant, to be always on. Be ready to proclaim the word of God, the gospel, wherever you are. Whether you are racing those funny little Toyotas that used to have the engine in the middle of the car. What were they?
MR2s.
Whether you're doing that, or whether you're playing foosball, or swimming in your new pool, or sitting by a campfire, or having ice cream at Heisler's, or counseling students, or teaching on a Friday night, or being at a play or football game, or preaching here on a Sunday morning, always be prepared. You do a great job getting ready to preach, and it doesn't matter if it's Jeffrey Dahmer or Kanye West. Keep it up, and do so everywhere that you are. 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Your first responsibility is to the church that meets in your home. Continue to shepherd Jane and Tyler and Jenna, because they love you and they look up to you and they listen to you and they respect you. Now, remember when. Closely related to this thought is the next phrase, in season and out of season. And that means that you're supposed to preach when it's convenient, but you're also supposed to preach when it's not convenient, and whether you just feel like it or not, doesn't matter. That means to be ready when you're scheduled to preach or teach and when you're not. Look for ways to proclaim God's word in formal settings and when things are informal. Preach when people are listening, and preach when students are squirmy and rootsy, and that happens all the time. And remember why. If we drop down to verses 3 and 4, the reason why we are to take all of this so seriously is because the closer we get to the return of Christ, people will not put up with sound doctrine. We have seen it. Instead, more and more people will only listen to teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. And we see that happening right now, don't we? And notice it says that people will gather around them a great number of teachers just like that. You know, there certainly does seem to be a great number of teachers who teach a watered-down gospel. Notice that people seem to gather these kind of preachers around. And it's pretty easy today with the internet and with podcasts and with TV to find support for any bizarre concept that the human mind seeks to justify. When you have the opportunity to speak the full counsel of God, do it. Because people may not be hearing the truth anywhere else in their life. Tragically, though, verse 4 indicates that many will actually turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Anyway, remember how. This passage lists 7 ways that preachers must preach. The first 3 are from verse 2, the others show up in verse 5. Correct, appeal to the mind. Rebuke, appeal to the will so that people change their behavior. encourage, appeal to the heart. I personally have watched you single out the most troubled young person in a huge crowd and zero in on them and spend time with them. I have watched you become the close personal friend of every student that the Lord has entrusted into your care, which is especially important after you're correcting and rebuking, just saying. Keep your head in all situations. Stay calm and settled when things are unsettled around you. Like J2O practice, come on. It's crazy. Endure hardship. Afflictions will come for a minister, and you already know that. Do the work of evangelist. The word work implies that it isn't easy. I will never forget a chapel service when I was in seminary with Reverend Chrisman. I don't know if you were at this chapel service or not, but, you know, humor me, okay? I don't know if we went the same days at this time. But anyway, a speaker got up. Chapel, you know, Deck Chapel. It was awesome. Speaker got up and announced that he was going to speak on evangelism. I mean, seriously, just what we all wanted to hear, right? Inward groan, everybody, right? He got up to the podium. He looked around. He opened up his Bible and he said, "Just do it." And he closed his Bible and he walked off the platform and he left. Chapel was over. But he made a point. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Leave nothing undone, or keep on filling full is what that means. So correct, rebuke, encourage, stay calm, hang tough, share Christ, do your duty. Now the final challenge that I'd like to share is for both you and for our church family where you have faithfully labored all of these years. And it's found in the last phrase of verse 2, with great patience and careful instruction. As you work with students, you need great patience because they are works in progress. Keep on instructing and being patient, though, with the rest of us, because here's the deal. We are all still works in progress. God is not yet finished with us. Praise God. Can I get an amen? The same goes as a charge to our church family. Patience. Remember, we are all in this together. On a personal note, thank you, Mark, for being my friend all of these years. We have weathered many storms together. And thank you for making me look good for 14 years. But the mantle that you are accepting today is a heavy one. It is as heavy as a cross. Students, wherever you are, do you know how fortunate you are? And I think you do. Brothers and sisters of Christ Church, do you know how fortunate we are? And I think we do. But would you like to right now express your appreciation to Pastor Mark? I mean, right now? I think we should. Don't break Paul's chain letter. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfill all the duties of your ministry, Reverend Mark. And we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will fulfill ours. And we will continue to grow old together for the glory of God. Amen. Please stand for this next hymn. Hear the words from the prophet Isaiah. I heard the voice of the Holy One saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. Pastor Mark, would you come forward? Before God and this congregation, we ask you, are you persuaded that God has called you to be an ordained minister in the Church of Jesus Christ? And are you ready, with the help of God, to continue in this ministry and to serve faithfully in it?
I am.
Do you, with the church throughout the world, hear the Word of God in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And do you accept the Word of God as the rule of Christian faith and practice?
I do.
Do you promise to be diligent in your private prayers and in reading the Scriptures, as well as in the public duties of your office?
I do, relying on the grace of God.
Will you be zealous in maintaining both the truth of the gospel and the peace of the church, speaking the truth always in love?
I will, relying on the grace of God.
Will you be faithful in preaching and teaching the gospel, in administering the sacraments and rites of the church, and in exercising pastoral care and leadership?
I will, relying on the grace of God.
And will you keep silent all confidences shared with you?
I will, relying on the grace of God.
Will you seek to regard all people with equal love and concern and undertake to minister impartially to the needs of all?
I will, relying on the grace of God.
Do you accept the faith and order of the historic Christian church? And will you, as an ordained minister, reach out toward all who are in Christ and show Christian love to people of other faiths and people of no faith?
I do, and I will, relying on the grace of God.
So, people of God, you have heard the promises that Pastor Mark has made. What is your will?
By the grace of God, he is worthy. Let us ordain him. Come, Holy Spirit.
Will you support Pastor Mark in the ministry of Christ?
We will.
The laying on of hands is a symbolic act whereby the church in every age recognizes God's call to ministry in the lives of faithful men and women and asks the Holy Spirit to confer on them gifts for ordained ministry. So, we're going to have Pastor Mark kneel. Ordained clergy and clergy people who are present, please come forward for the laying on of hands. And then anyone who sees fit may come forward. Sure, we can fit. We'll fit. You guys ready? I can put my hand on your stinky head.
This one?
Maybe it's a call. Eternal Father God, in wisdom you govern all things, and from the beginning you have chosen faithful people to serve you in ministry, calling some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all your people for the work of the ministry and for building up the body of Christ. Now blessed and sanctified by your Holy Spirit, this your servant, Mark Todd Shellhammer, whom we in your name and in obedience to your will, by prayer and with the laying on of hands, ordained to the ministry of the church, committing to him the authority to preach your word, administer the sacraments, and exercise the responsibilities of pastor and teacher. Bestow on Pastor Mark the power of your Holy Spirit, confirming what we do. Let the same mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus. Enable him to nourish your people in the faith of the gospel. Fill his speech with truth and his life with purity. Increase the faith of Pastor Mark in you. Strengthen him in the day of trouble. Prosper his words and works, that your name may be glorified and your truth exalted through Jesus Christ, our Sovereign Lord and Savior. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and by his authority affirmed by the unanimous decision of the Christ Church McKeensburg Board, I declare you to be ordained into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Congratulations. Receive into your hands this formal acclamation of all that you have accomplished and all that has been done here today. Go in peace and serve the Lord in your generation. Amen.
Please stand for the benediction. This benediction is one of my father's favorites, Reverend Dale Shellhammer, so this is for an honor of him. The benediction today comes from Numbers 6. May the Lord keep and bless you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and give you grace. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.